debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let's pray. Bow with me. Most beautiful, loving, and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with thankful hearts, God, because we know that all blessings come from you and we are a blessed people. God, this morning we do want to lift up those that are physically sick and hurting and those that are grieving. But God, we also want to lift up those that are fighting spiritual battles. Your word makes it clear that we are in a spiritual war. And we pray that we lean on you to see us through those battles. And God, we ask that you just give us an attitude to live as people who have won the ultimate prize if we've given our life to you in baptism. And that we go out into the world with joy in our hearts. Some of Jesus' final words were to go out into the world and preach the gospel to all people. Please remind us today, God, that when we step out those doors, you're talking to us individually, and the world is right outside the door. Please help us live as you would have us to live and be who you created us to be. And please forgive us when we stumble. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're using a songbook or would like to, number 650, Send the Light. That'll be our song of encouragement after Brother Ken's lesson. We'll have a couple of songs before he comes up and speaks. First one will be I Believe in Jesus, number 356.
I believe in the one they call Jesus. Thank you.
Today, we'll be reading Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Good morning again. Oh, it's really good to see you. I hope you had a great week. Didn't it feel a little bit cooler out there today? So maybe that is boding well for the rest of the week. I hope so. I can't wait for fall to get here. I just want to smell fall in the air and be hopeful that it is on the way. But everywhere I go, here's what people say about the heat. Well, it's Mississippi. I guess so. I guess that's just the way it is. So we enjoy it while we endure, and then we look for a change. I want to thank you for your desire to be a part of our assembly here today. This month has five Sundays in it. Next Sunday is that fifth Sunday, and corresponding to the fifth Sundays, we always have a special emphasis with regard to our giving, and this month it pertains to missions. What we decided a couple of years ago was that instead of presenting the missions lesson on that day and then an appeal to give, what we would do is give that appeal a week ahead of time so that you have an entire week to think on what you heard on the previous Sunday and to make an assessment of yourself and then to give according to that assessment. So that's what this lesson here today is going to be about. We're going to talk about our, and that's all of us together, our global commitment. Before we start that though, we're going to pray together and ask God that He'll bless us in our study today. And I think it's appropriate that also with regard to the appeal, that we'll be able to examine ourselves. And next week we will demonstrate to the Lord how important missions is to us. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for today, the first day of the week, an opportunity to assemble and worship as we read a moment ago in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Father, that our worship has been acceptable in your sight. We have committed ourselves to that, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless us now as we enter into this period of worship, time of meditation and reflection upon your word. And today especially, we think about global missions and our commitment to that. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to convey that idea that we will also act with attentiveness and a resolve, a commitment, that we will have a dedicated spirit to the cause of missions, will be very decisive in the decisions that we make, and that all that we do, we will recognize is for the purpose of glorifying you and advancing your kingdom. So Lord, please help me in a lot of ways to communicate that, to be able to express in a heartfelt way the importance of our role in missions. And I pray also that you'll be with those who hear these words today, that they'll be able to examine themselves and to be honest with themselves with regard to their part in the mission work that we do here at Boonville. Lord, you know that right here from Boonville, right here, we can impact the world for you. And Lord, I'm asking you here in this public way that you will empower us to do just that. So Lord, help us to examine ourselves, help us to meet the needs that exist, and to be able to do it joyfully with a spirit that is reflected in many of the songs we sang today, looking to share the gospel with the whole world. Thank you for the privilege, the blessing of that. Help us to walk in that light for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting to me to look throughout history and to realize that there are some pivot points throughout history that I'm sure in the grander scheme of things seems very small, singular. Maybe even stands out against all of the rest. But was such a tremendous pivot in history that it impacted everything that came after it. One such pivot occurred in the summer of 1940. It happened in Dunkirk, France. 338,000 Allied soldiers were stranded in that location, backed up by German forces against where the North Sea and the English Channel come together. It seemed for an instant that there was no hope for that major core of the British military. But strategy and intervention resulted in the salvation of 338,000 rescued from that sure death. That pivot in history right there likely changed what was coming in World War II. It probably is one of those major developments that later assured the victory that the Allied forces had in World War II. It certainly affected the history of Europe moving forward. It's just funny to me how history turns on these small, seemingly insignificant pivots. Several centuries before that, a Christian missionary by the name of Paul stood on the shore of the Aegean Sea, and he was looking eastward toward Asia. He was excited. Billions of people live in that direction of modern-day Turkey. What would be beyond that? Only your imagination could limit the possibilities. His bags are packed. He's got his strategy ready. I just want to save souls for Jesus. And here are a lot of souls. But the Holy Spirit intervened and said, no. So instead of going to Asia, I can imagine that there was a moment of contemplation. What in the world? I want to go to Asia. Okay, not Asia. Then I want to go to Bithynia. The answer again was no. And then, in the dark of a Mediterranean night, the Apostle Paul had a vision. A man of Thessalonica, Macedonia area, stood and pleaded with Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. In response to that vision, the Apostle Paul acted. There was no question as to whether I should do this or how will I do this. He just made a commitment in the moment. Instead of now heading to the right and to the east, Paul boards a ship and he heads to the west. He now would be preaching the gospel in what would become Europe. And you know the familiar places that he touched. He went to Philippi. He went to Thessalonica. He went to Corinth. He went to Rome. The gospel was now on a track to influence the world that he had hoped for in Asia. And many centuries later, the gospel that was preached there in Europe would cross the Atlantic Ocean and it would be preached in America. And you and I are here in this building today, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, because there was a pivotal moment in Paul's life when he had to make a decision. And based on what he saw and the information that he gathered, he went to Europe. And you, of course, know the rest of the story. It is without question that you and I have become beneficiaries of the awesome grace of God. You and I are able to assemble here today to be what we are because God had mercy on us centuries ago. But the question for us is not necessarily how we got here. Because to be honest, all I really know is that at some point in my life, someone taught me the gospel and I obeyed it. And I rejoice in just that simple fact. And knowing all of that history doesn't really impact so much where I am today. But if I relish what God has done in moving heaven and earth to save my very soul, then don't I have a responsibility? Shouldn't I be looking in my own life for one of those pivots, an opportunity where I might be able to share the gospel with somebody else? I want to give some attentiveness. I want to be resourceful and responsive to the opportunities that come to me. I want to be decisive when I have made this commitment to share the gospel, to reach, as we offered in our prayer, the entire world for Jesus, even from this place right here, the vantage place, the pivot point in Boonville, Mississippi. God help that that would be true. And if God is for it, who could possibly be against it? I want to think with you today about our global commitment. Now, we must have a commitment, as Paul did, to attentiveness. The text says in verse 10, "Now when he had seen the vision..." Well, I just want to emphasize one little section right there, and it is the fact he had seen the vision. And it isn't just that he recognized or visualized the vision. He actually was instructed by what he saw. So in seeing the vision, the idea is, yes, I have technically watched what has happened, but it has impacted me so. To the extent that Paul, in that vision, recognized an incredible need. Now, what are the indicators of the need? Well, in the vision, there is this man of Macedonia who is standing and he is pleading with Paul. Come over to Macedonia and help us. It is like to say, well, I know you want to go to Asia, and I know you want to go to Bithynia, and maybe you want to go to just about anywhere else, but please, Paul, come and help us. I just love that heartfelt, deep yearning to stand and to plead, please come. I love that. It's been a long time, to be honest, since I've seen that kind of yearning. I did have, in the early years of my ministry, someone come to the door of my office once and led with, as I shared with you last week, what must I do to be saved? And there was a yearning in his heart to know the truth. Please help me. And I have seen people who came up out of the waters of baptism, not just with a resolve and now a newfound commitment to serve the Lord, but it is like they erupted out of the water. And it was a joy to be just splashed and covered in water, soaked to the bone, because here was a person who so rejoiced in their salvation that they literally leaped up out of the water as though Jesus is bursting forth from his tomb. That is a moving celebration of salvation. And I see that same spirit here in this vision. He is standing, but he is pleading, please, please, come over to Macedonia and help us. You know, more often than not, in our modern time, even with something so significant and important as salvation, if you were to ask someone for aid in regard to that, a lot of times here is something that you hear people say. They'll say, well, you know what, right now I'd love to, but I don't have time. I don't have, and then something. Now, I don't read here in this section where the Apostle Paul is now mulling over, do I have what it takes to go over there to Macedonia? You know, those are some expensive places over there. Going to go to Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and Rome? How in the world would I afford such a thing? Paul doesn't sit down with his financial records and begin to wonder, is it workable? Was the Lord right in telling me not to go to Asia or Bithynia? What's going on? Nothing like that. In fact, what we learn is that they immediately sought to go to Macedonia. There is a unique perspective that the child of God has when he recognizes his own salvation, that when the opportunity arrives to help in a work that will save more souls, that he just, you know, without even calculating it out, I want to do this. You just jump into it. And the confidence that I have that I will share with you is, if this is the Lord's will, you don't need to do any calculation. God is going to work this out, as he did with Paul, so he would do with us. And listen to this. This is actually from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 10. That text says that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And why is that? Why would I give my all to something that has fallen into my hand? Because he says there is no work, nor device, nor wisdom, nor knowledge in the grave where you are going. In other words, you're going to die one of these days. And if you don't do this thing that you know you should do now, you are just going to be filled with regrets. You will not die wishing that you had worked more, or that you had spent more time away from your family, that you had spent more time doing things that you enjoy rather than serving the Lord. You will not be on your deathbed thinking those thoughts. You will be thinking, Lord, why did I squander my time? Why did I refuse to act on this opportunity that was in my hand when I had the wherewithal to do it? So, there are a lot of visions, not spiritual visions or dreams in the night, but I'm talking about visionary plans. There are a lot of visionary plans out there that people have with regard to the expansion of the kingdom of God. And they ask us, will you come and help me? Will you come help us? Some time ago, we got a call from Indianola, and that was the call. Can you come and help us? You know what we said? We said, yes. We got a call from Meridian, Mississippi. The church is struggling right now. We don't have a preacher. We need some help over. Will you come and help us? And the answer was yes. Of course we will help you. In fact, today, we have a series every month. One of our men goes down to Meridian and preaches on Sunday. We have somebody down there today. You know who it is? It's Thomas Long. Thomas wants to be a preacher. I don't know if he wanted me to share that with you, but I rejoice in it. And Thomas is answering that call. Now, oh no, you know, I'm not a seasoned and experienced preacher. What good will I do? What use do I have in going down that? Can you come and help us? What'd Thomas say? Thomas said, yes. Yes, I will come and I will help you. This congregation, this mission team is right behind him all the way. You know, there's a terrible war going on in the world right now. Not our war, the war between Russia and Ukraine. Jeff Abrams has been working in that war for a long time. And he comes along and he says, hey, can you help us? We said, yes, yes. Now, in the background, we are often, when these questions come along, going, well, okay, yes, but how? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It just astounds me, as I think it does the rest of the mission team, that every time something comes along for which we seem to have nothing at all, that almost immediately, with a confidence and a faith in doing what's right, the Lord just simply provides. And I'm very grateful for that. My question to you, though, today is, will you help us? Will you help us as we plan these mission works to be attentive when these calls for help come? Will you help us? We also have to be committed to responsiveness. And to respond means, well, I see the need, and then I go. And in this case, as I mentioned earlier, the text says that immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Immediately so. Now, actually, if you're a good Bible student, you probably know that right here in this text, there is a shift. And I want you to notice this shift, because if I'm not really discerning about this, I'm just looking at Paul again and putting another check mark on Paul. Great servant of God, willing to go anywhere, willing to risk his life multitudes of times in order to see the gospel preached. He lays down his life. Got it. Great servant. But notice this. It was Paul who saw. Paul is the one who saw the vision. But the text says that immediately we sought to go to Thessalonica. We did. Well, Luke the physician is the author of this text, written by inspiration of God. He becomes an eyewitness of this particular work of the Lord. But I just want to make this point right here. Yes, we do send missionaries, and we have several that we could name, Wayne Barrier and others who we send money to, and they take that money and they go on these trips. They buy tickets for airline travel. They have to buy hotel rooms sometimes. They use that money as supplies to help those who are needy. We have a name, but often we neglect to point to the fact that no mission work can be done alone. There's always somebody helping that work along. You and I, when we contribute to missions and we see the reports and our hearts are moved by what the gospel has done, you know who's responsible for that? I want to say, well, thank you so much, so-and-so, for going and doing that, but back up just a moment and think about pivots. It wasn't just the one who went. That's kind of the tip of the spear. But there's a lot more to that spear, isn't there? And in particular, every single one of us who is contributing to missions has become a part of the work that we have reported to us. That's why when we have a missionary come, we ought to all be here. We ought to all come and just rejoice in the fact that we, specifically, you think, me, Lord, I asked you to use me in some way. I contributed to this, and right there it is. Do I recognize that? We don't give all glory to the missionary. We give all glory to God for using the missionary, who then was supported and enabled by all of us. That is a part of responsiveness. Or you can carry that to another word of responsibility. We see a need that exists, and then we just want to take it up. So Luke said, I'll go. He did not stand on the shore and wave goodbye and say, hey, when you get back, give me the cliff notes so that I can include it in my story. What Luke did was, he got in the boat. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, that text reminds us that when it is that we have good in our hand to do for somebody, that we need to do it. And we don't say, well, you know, go and come back, and then tomorrow I'll give it. Don't do that when you have it now. So the idea is that if an opportunity arises and we can satisfy that, that we don't respond by saying, well, hang on there and wait, and we'll try and figure this out, and hopefully we'll make the deadline. What you do is you just act on it. Because again, you don't even know if you're going to live to see another opportunity, let alone the very next day. So as the opportunity presents itself, we ought always be responding to that opportunity. You know, a few weeks ago, we had the missionary from South Africa come here. He spoke on an evening, Sunday night. And so he presented the work that was going on there, and I think the consensus was, wow, what a great work, and all of that. So before that service even began, Jim Estes, who is on the mission team, came to me and he said, well, you know, I know we allocate all of our funds to something, and essentially, you know, we have it laid out so we don't have anything, but boy, if this thing works out, we should be ready. We should be ready to give to this work. And so he said, I have looked at our schedule here, and I've actually found some funds. If we need it, we can write them a check. Now, don't you love that attitude? Well, we begged Johnny Guthrie, please take some money for this work. And he said, you know what, brothers? We don't need it right now. We don't need it right now. But I thought to myself, first of all, Johnny, that's not helping your reputation as a crumb snatcher. But then secondarily, I thought, praise God that here's a work that's funded. They're not asking for money. But then again, I thought, wait a minute. Why is it that we had to wring ourselves tight and dry to try to find a way, if the opportunity comes, to be able to help it? Wouldn't it be great if we had some money on hand? And maybe this, The mission team, especially JT, was thinking, you know what? Man, it would be great if we could start a new work somewhere. Not continuing with the old stuff that we've done, but actually to create something new. But in order to create something new and have a foundation for that work, we're going to have some money up front. So wouldn't it be great if we had money up front? Now, catch this image in your mind, or vision if you want to. Here we're thinking we're going to go to Asia and Bithynia. Okay, that's what we're going to save our money for, and we're going to work in that work, and we have our hearts set on that. And all of a sudden, the door slammed, and another opportunity arises. Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to say, yes, Lord, and we'll just support that one? That says, here's an opportunity. I recognize it, and now I want to respond to it. I want to be responsive, and I want to respond immediately, like the Apostle Paul was willing to do. And then we have to be committed to decisiveness. I commit to it, and I want to act, and I've absolutely got to make a decision about this and not look backwards. Now, did God ever go to Asia? You know that He did. But this was what was pressing at the time. Here's what I love about this text right here. So we're going to immediately go to Thessalonica. Here's why. Concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want to highlight the very first word in that quotation right there. Concluding. The word concluding literally means to put together the pieces of a puzzle. Now, what I want you to understand about that is it wasn't like some other instances, like, for instance, with Philip. You know, both the Spirit and an angel told Philip, you go and you join yourself to that chariot. That's not what happened with Paul right here. The text says that what they did was they concluded, or they put the pieces together, and what they decided had happened was the Lord was calling them to preach the gospel to those folks there in that beautiful region of the world, Macedonia. Well, what does it mean to put the pieces together? Well, it went like this. Going to Asia? No. Okay. Going to Bithynia? No. Vision in the night. Come over to Thessalonica and Macedonia and help us. Come over here. Help. All right, let's put the pieces together. No, no, come. Conclusion, we're packing up and we're going. We're going to Macedonia because we have seen what's happened here. And let me say this too. He did not give up. You ever been door knocking and the door slammed in your face? Or maybe gently shut, but the effect was the same. I don't want to talk to you. A lot of people have said, well, door knocking is no good because of that reason. Well, you know what? JT and I have hit nearly every door over here behind us. And I don't remember not one time getting the door slammed in our face. In fact, JT knows so many people over there that they invite us in. And we spend 20 minutes talking to them. I'm like, JT, come on, man. We gotta go. We got stuff to do. I mean, that's an open door. Many people, when they meet resistance, will say, that's it, I'm done. Could you imagine? This Apostle Paul slammed the door. No, you're not going to Asia. No, you're not going to Bithynia. I want you over here in Macedonia. I don't know about those people. No, he says, okay, that's it. I'll put the pieces together. And that's what I'm going to do. You know what your mission team does? Same thing. When we consider a mission work, we put the pieces together. First thing we'll do, we'll come out with that spreadsheet that I talked about a moment ago. Actually, Jim has just put this thing together, and we can tell practically down to the dollar how much money we've spent and how deeply we can invest in this work for the Lord. And then over time, we also, we have a two-pronged attack. One is the spreadsheet, and on the other side, we have this beautiful book. Dale Kendrick has worked tirelessly on that, in which he interviews every single one of our missionaries. He knows the perspective from which they work. He knows who supports that work. He knows how much they are supported. He knows what their needs are. He's assembled this book. We can just open that book and look at it. We have all the pieces to the puzzle. And then what do? Based on what we learn from all that information that we've gathered, we are able to conclude that the gospel should be preached here or there. Well, there are some places that we have a mind that says, you know what, we've been working in these areas. Boy, we sure would like to continue doing it. For instance, you might remember I took a trip to Guanajuato, Mexico, a couple of years ago with John Pigg. Boy, we sure would like to continue that work. But we just, at the moment, we don't have the money to cover that. We sure would like to continue to help the Bates. We would like to take the Fishers on board from World Evangelism and help them with their mission work, but right now we don't have the money for that. Boy, we sure would like to. We would like to continue helping GBN, Gospel Broadcast Network. We would like to continue supporting Apologetics Press. We would like to continue supporting World Evangelism and the work that they do, sending tracts and materials all over the world. We would love to continue to support Maywood and Mid-South. Those are works that we believe are true mission points for our youth. Those things matter. Would you help us to do that? You know what? Today, you and I, have in effect heard the Macedonian call. All of these places stand and plead with us. Come over and help. What do we want to say? Do we want to say yes? Or do we want to say, well, yes to you, but no to you? Now, if the Lord shuts the door, peace, I get it. But if the Lord has opened the door to all of these, doesn't it seem right that we would respond in the affirmative? Yes. If we had the money, then we would keep right on helping Indianola and Meridian. We would keep right on helping the church that's growing in the war-torn country of Ukraine. We would keep looking for a new mission point for us to support. We would keep right on with the media. We would keep right on supporting those works that best develop our youth. But in order to do that, at this point right now, to cover all the things that I've just lightly mentioned here today would take $80,000. My question today is, could we meet that goal? Could we, for the Lord, for His missions, for this outreach, for this opportunity that's before us, could we say yes and meet that goal? Because if we did, then every single one of those things that I highlighted here today would be a part of your pivot toward the Macedonian call. Today, if you're a child of God, that's your thing. But maybe you're on the other side of that equation. Maybe you've not even obeyed the gospel. Or maybe you've not been faithful to the call that you once responded to. Today, while we are mindful of what can be, we also need to be mindful of what is. If we are out of sorts with the Lord, what sense does that make to give so much attention to others
when our own house is in disarray. So today, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, I hope that you'll do that. And I hope this week that you'll think about your pivot toward the Macedonian call. If you need to respond for any reason, now's your opportunity. Why don't you come, if you need to, while we stand and sing together.
Partake of the Lord's Supper and to help prepare our hearts and minds for that, we'll sing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song.
Here in the dead. you need the emblems for the Lord's Supper, if you'll raise your hand, the men will pass by and make sure you have it. Israel of old was admonished to beware lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. God was concerned that his people might forget all the mighty works that God had manifested before them and their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. And yet when we come to the New Testament today, we're admonished to remember what the Lord did to provide our freedom from sin, both by command and example. Every first day of the week, we spend some time thinking about the sacrifice of our Lord on Calvary's cross. And as we remember, we reflect. We reflect on the Lord's gruesome and agonizing and painful death on Calvary. His body, his blood that poured forth for our sins. We reflect on that. We reflect on the great love that God has for us in sending his Son to die for us. We reflect on our Lord's love for us. As he said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And as we reflect on what the Lord did for us on Calvary, we are revitalized, aren't we? We leave here rejoicing over our salvation. We go into our regular week of activities renewed and refreshed, having reflected on the salvation that our Lord has provided through his sacrifice. And so today, as we partake of these emblems reminding us of what Jesus did for us on the cross, let's reflect on those things and let's be revitalized to go out and to serve him to the best of our ability the rest of the week. Will you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your Son who gave his life on the cross for our sins. And now, Father, as we partake of this bread which reminds us of the body of your Son who gave himself on the cross for our sins, may we be thankful. May we partake of it in a pleasing manner in Christ's name. Amen. Again, will you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful and mindful of what your Son did in coming to this earth, living a perfect life, and going to the cross and shedding his blood so that our sins can be washed away. Father, as we today reflect on that blood and what it does for us, may we be thankful. And may we partake of this fruit of the vine that represents that blood in a well-pleasing manner. In Christ's name, amen.
Pray. Let us give thanks for the blessings of life, Father. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to give back a portion of what Thou hast blessed us with, Father. We pray, Father, that what is collected this day that it will be used to further Thy kingdom here on the earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. I'd like to join with Brother Ken in welcoming each and every one of you here for our Sunday morning worship service. And to our visitors, you're our honored guest, and it's our prayer that you'll be able to attend with us again soon. Our next scheduled service is this evening at 5 p.m. For this morning's services, we did have 338 in attendance. If I can direct your attention to the order of worship bulletin, on the inside, you will find a very extensive sick and homebound list, if you would keep them in your prayers. Also on the back, the landmark devotional is today at 4 p.m. Zion's Rest is in charge. To all of our youth, 7th through 12th grade, and their parents, you're asked to meet tonight in the youth room following classes. The Golden Circle, we'll be going to breakfast at the pit stop in Corinth in the morning. The bus will leave from the annex at 8:30. Also, for any ladies interested in going to TLC, that'll be September the 10th through the 13th. You're asked to make your payment to Wendy Long as soon as possible. We also have a sign-up sheet and information for this fall for His Needs, Her Needs marriage class. It's in the foyer. If you have any questions about any of that, please contact Aaron or Cassie Foster. And our food pantry and clothes closet will be open this Thursday. And that will be also September the 10th and 17th, and the monthly pantry item is canned fruit. And just a reminder, our big day will be August the 30th. And that is all the announcements I have. If you would please stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this beautiful day we've had together to worship You. Father, we pray that our worship will go up to You as a good-smelling aroma. Father, we pray that You will be with all those who are sick, those who are having procedures, those who are struggling with sickness. We pray that You will bring them back to their most wanted places in life. And also, Father, for the many families today struggling with the loss of loved ones, we pray that You will comfort them as only You can. Father, we pray that as we leave here today, that we will carry both by our actions and by our words, Thy glory out before others, that they may see You living in us. We pray that You go with us, guide us, and keep us near Thee. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm gonna try.